Miss Shepherd, reel one.
But before you were ballooning, what were you doing directly after you left school?
Well, I tell you, the first thing I did was to go and get this job, as I told you, when I got my job as waitress.
when was I met that?
Well, you know, when I told you, when was it? 1902, 1903, something like that. I think you've got that on your notes, haven't you? Have you got your notes there?
Yes, but that's all right. Would have been just shortly after the Boer War, then?
Oh, yes, long after the Boer War. It was the year that King Edward was going to be crowned, you know, the coronation.
Yes. Do you remember the Boer War?
Very faintly, I can remember, yes, because they used to sing, "Goodbye, Dolly, I must leave you."
How did you get the name Dolly?
Because I was such a tiny little thing, and my grandma said, "That's not a baby, that's a dolly." And so, I mean, they just called me Dolly, you see. I mean, my name is Elizabeth Miriam.
Did you have any relatives who were in the Boer War, any uncles or cousins?
No, no.
So it didn't really affect you directly?
No. I only came on, you see, during that time. I mean, I was the most daring of the family, you see. I mean, I don't know. It was just as a child, I saw a balloon once up in the air, and I thought, oh, I shall do that one day. As a matter of fact, I jumped off our roof with an umbrella. Why I didn't break my neck, I don't know, when I was a child. But there you are.
Do you remember when you first saw a balloon, first became interested?
Well, I suppose I was about 10. I was only interested when I was... It came, as I say, quite by accident, when I went up to see Sousa and then got introduced to Gaudron and Cody. And then I became, you know, one of the bunch.
You went to Alexandra Palace as a waitress because you wanted to see Sousa.
Sousa,
Did you actually see him?
Well, don't you remember? I told you. He actually came and sat at my table. And then, of course, his friends, see, Cody, came along and spoke to him. And John Henderson, the theatrical manager, he came along. And it was then that Cody said, that he was so stuck for someone to... because he grazed his wife's head. And he wanted someone to... because he was a sharpshooter. And so I said, oh, all right, I'll come along. And so I went along, and he took aim, and I think I told you. And he took aim. I was standing on the stage. He took aim, but what I hadn't reckoned for, his son came behind him and blindfolded him. But he shot it. It was all right. But the friend who came along to see the thing, directly she saw the man blindfolding him, she fainted.
Oh, dear. What was the egg made of that he shot off your head?
Rosin. Oh, yes, rosin. Oh, yes, wouldn't have done for an ordinary egg, would it?
And what about the bullet that he used to shoot you with? Was there some kind of special bullet for shooting eggs?
I don't know. No, he was a sharpshooter, you see, but of course also, you see, he was the pioneer of aviation, you see. It was Cody, really, it was Cody who was the first man to fly in England.
Yes. Had you heard of him before you met him that night?
Oh, yes, I'd heard of him. I'd only heard of him, but I'd never met him until he came and sat down with Sousa and John Henderson. And then Monsieur Gaudron, you know, he was the balloons. He was of Gaudron and Spencer, the only real people.
What was Mr. Sousa like?
Oh, he was a little chap. Pleasant. And American, of course. Very American.
Well, Cody was as well.
No, Cody wasn't very big.
Cody was born in America.
He was born in America, yes. Yes, oh yes, he was born in America. But he came over, but let me see, what was his name? Sydney, I think, Sydney. Look, in my drawer I've got an alphabetical book, do you remember? Yes, Cody, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he was born in America, but he came over here. I mean, he was noted as a crack shot. And then, of course, he went in for kites. Cody's kites were well known then. And then, of course, he went aircraft. So, I mean, I used to go over into the banqueting hall and see there, I'd say, Cody. When you asked me where Colonel Maitland, he was Lieutenant Maitland then, and then afterwards he became Commander Maitland, and he was killed on the R-38, you know, the big Zeppelin balloon, you know, Zeppelins, in 1921. That was Maitland. He became Commander, and he was the man, I told you, who said, I'd never ask my men to do this. And he got a man straight away to organise the safety parachute.
That was after he'd been up with you and
yes,
seen
yes.
what your parachute
yes,
was.
Yes, he and the Captain Wilkins, yes. And he said, oh, no.
Did he actually...
He'd had enough. Oh, yes, he made...
a descent
oh, yes, yes.
in the same way.
Yes, oh, yes, I did that.
What was he like?
I can't remember. There were just a couple of army officers. I can't remember what he was like.
And what was Cody like? This
oh, absolutely, that was Cody. All the time.
Dramatic. Hmm? Very dramatic looking.
Always. Man. Oh, yes. He was a showman. Oh, real showman. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And he's a very nice man, though. Yeah, poor old Cody. Yes. Yes, that's how I used to know all the aircraft. You see,
yes.
I knew them. I didn't know the new ones.
Now you first met Cody at the Alexandra Palace, and then he shot the egg off your mm-hmm. head. Did that happen only once?
Did it?
Or,
oh yes.
Or did you have to go back night after night?
No. I would just fill in. I filled in for his wife, you see. Yes, oh yes.
Then how did you get involved with ballooning?
Well, because of seeing the banqueting hall, there was... Cody used it, he was busy making his kites. Colonel Gordon, Captain Gordon was busy doing his balloons and parachutes and things in the same great big hall, you see. So, I mean, when I... met them, you see, with Sousa. Well, we became involved, and I tell you, when Godwin said, after I had the egg shot off my head, he said, would you like to make a parachute descent? I said, oh, I would, I'd love it. He said, well, come across to the banqueting hall, and we all toddled down to the banqueting hall, and I used to go down there frequently, you know, when I had spare time. I used to go down, and they showed me all the works, and we had a thing hung up in the ceiling and showed me how to do and what to do.
So first you practiced without really jumping?
Without jumping.
From the ceiling.
Oh, yes, yes, without jumping. Oh, no. No, and he showed me how to fold. You know, you fold the... When you're on the ground, you fold your things down. You're very careful that you see the ropes are not tangled. You have to get them always straight.
How do you make sure that they don't get tangled?
You can't. Oh, well, you fold, you see. Have you got one of those where there's... At Ashby de la Zouche, I've got one. On the ground with the... I'll show you. You kind of get used to it. It's, you know, it just comes into your head and it's quite natural that you fold it and fold it and fold it.
What would happen if the ropes were tangled?
People used to say to me, what would happen if it didn't open? That's the same question. Oh, you'd be killed, because quite a number of them were killed.
No. Can you remember your first balloon ascent? The
oh,
very
yes.
first time you went up?
Oh, yes, I jumped off the basket.
So you were not attached?
Oh, no,
as
no.
In this photograph.
Not that. Oh, that
you
was when I used to go up
basket.
Alone then. Oh, I was quite experienced then. I could go up alone. Oh, no, the first time you go up when there's going to be a right-of-way ascent, and then you just... slip off the basket, off the edge of the basket. because there's no basket there. Is the one you can see that basket in the other?
Yes.
Can you see the basket? Well,
yes.
You sit on the yes. Well, you sit on the edge. You see, hanging onto a rope, hanging onto the rope. You know, balancing as you'd sit on a chair like that. And then he'd say, "Go," and you just go. Away you go.
Did someone else go up in the basket with you then?
Oh, well, you couldn't go up in the basket alone, not if you're going to make a parachute descent, because of the basket. It had to be, and when you jumped off, it always had to be from a right-of-way ascent, what you call a right-of-way.
What does that mean?
When they're going to sail away somewhere. They're either going to take passengers or they want to go a long distance. And then you jump off. Or in this other case, I was hanging underneath. See, they were going to take passengers. They'd probably land 20 or 30 miles away, take them for a ride.
Why couldn't you just go up with one other person in the basket and then he would go down and you would jump off?
Well, he could. I mean, what do you mean? Slipping off the basket or going underneath?
Well, I wondered why you said there had to be a right-of-way.
That's what we call a right-of-way. A right-of-way is in a basket. A right-of-way means that it goes right away. You see,
the balloon either, goes right away.
Yes. At one time, not in this time, but once, Gordon went to Russia. I mean, I wouldn't like to go to Russia with him. He took Bennett with him, I think, then in that time. But in that, oh no, you couldn't go up. See, the only time you can go up alone is when you're going to make like that. You must be just alone then. And you're alone in the wide, wide world. And
when you're alone, hanging under the balloon,
mm-hmm.
You pull the ripcord.
Yes.
And the balloon is then destroyed.
When you pull the ripcord, that pulls the balloon almost in half, and the sandbag pulls the balloon down, and you come down like this, you see.
Yes.
And in those days, the parachutes were just made as parachutes. But no, you had to twist your hand around and guide it a bit this way and this way. You couldn't say that you were coming down in a particular spot. You had to go where the wind took, you see. I mean, I've been on top of chimney, you know, on top of a house, over trees, leave you on an express train. That driver had some forethought. He blew the steam and just blew me off into the canal at Grantham. Oh yes, that was quite a nice time. But I was alone then, you see.
After you'd ripped the balloon and had started your descent, the balloon fell down separately with the sandbag. Could that same balloon ever be patched up and used again, or was
Oh
it
yes, oh yes. You see, the name and address is there. And they telegram whoever picks it up. So you say, whoever picks this, give notice, and it's gone back. Oh, yes.
What were the balloons made of?
A special balloon silk. Yes,
were they very expensive?
Special. Well, I don't know. I don't know how expensive they were, because although I had one that I always used to balloon, it didn't actually belong to me. I used to call it mine because that was the one I always used. But I don't know how much they cost in those days. Very little, I suppose, but was hardened silk, because we very often had to patch it if there was a tear in it. It might get torn going over a bush or something like that, and then we'd have to stitch it up first like that, and then put some adhesive stuff over the top, not scotch tape. It was special stuff that was made then especially for it.
Were you responsible personally for the care of your balloon, or were there some other people who saved it for you?
No, I wasn't responsible. It used to go back to Gordon's depot, you see. But there was never very much wrong with them, you see. Once it got lost and one was found in the North Sea. That was when I was up. I told you I had that experience. I was up half the night. Well, I went up at 6 o'clock and came down something before 12 o'clock. And but that one, and I mean, in all the papers in those days, it was saying, has anybody seen a balloon? See, lost, because it was lost. And... It was found in the North Sea. Someone found it in the North Sea. It came back all right. So, I mean, it was all right.
Were both hot air and gas balloons constructed in the same way?
Now, what do you mean, constructed?
Well, apart from the basket, did they look
the hot air balloons were harder, were a harder material altogether, because, you see, a spark could get in. Once, when I was up in Scotland, in Kirkcudbright, I was just going up, and the onlookers, he was a Scot, I always remember him, I admired this Scot, because he had the longest hairs on a leg I've ever seen. He had wonderful kilts, and he had long hair. I thought, oh, however do they, looking up and down. Well, he saw this spark inside the thing, and he got hold of me, and as I was going up, he got hold of my legs and pulled me down. And we both of us went down the pit. That was a hot air balloon. We both went down the pit, and all his hairs were singed off. Oh, I was so ashamed. Still.
By the pit, you mean the trench that you described?
The trench.
It was
a trench, 12 feet long trench had to be dug, you see. That was the one. That was the difference, you see, in those days.
Did you burn wood in the trench?
Wood. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And how long would it take to fill the balloon with enough hot air from that fire?
Oh. About 4 hours, I suppose. Yes, about 4 hours. So long as they stoked up well, you see. Oh, yes.
What did you...